I thought about carrying the dishes in myself this morning, but then again, I saw Gary try to blow the shofar a few weeks ago. And I'm worse with dishes than he is with shofar, so I wasn't going to attempt that. Some here this morning have worked as a waiter at a restaurant at some point in your life, or maybe you currently do. And so you know the proficiency of learning to weave in and around tables while carrying a tray full of dishes above your head or sort of above your head. You also have developed the skill and the patience to work with a very demanding and sometimes unfair public. A few weeks ago, we started a journey. We began a journey on the road toward the empty tomb with Jesus. And this morning, we take up the road beyond the empty tomb. And just as a waiter might pick up a tray of dishes in the kitchen and carry it forward to the table where a family will be served, so this morning, we take up the weight of carrying the story forward. Open your Bibles, if you have not yet, to Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 24. Preceding this, leading into this part of the story, James and John's mother has asked Jesus for positions of prominence next to Jesus as he reigns, as he rules in his kingdom. And now we will read the reaction to that on the part of the other disciples. Verse 24. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so the story places as prominent that last saying of Jesus. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we ask this morning, what does it take to carry the story forward beyond the empty tomb? And one of the things it takes to carry the story forward is to feel the impact, to continue to feel the impact of the story. We go to church, we read our Bibles, we listen to Christian programs, we buy Christian videos, we listen to the songs on the radio, or we buy the CDs ourselves, and we listen to this story. And there is the possibility of hearing the story so often that we become somewhat numb to the story. And critical to carry the story forward is that we continue to feel the impact of the Christian story. We are a cross-shaped people. So we understand what sacrifice means. Now, when we talk about cross-shaped sacrifice, we're talking about something willingly done. Jesus willingly gave his life so that you and I could have a relationship together again with God. And so what we are called on to do as those who are followers of Jesus in being cross-shaped is to have the kind of sacrificial life that we are willing to give our lives for the God who loves us and who gave himself for you and I. As part of what it means to take on the road beyond the empty tomb. But we are also a tomb-shaped people. Precisely, we are an empty tomb-shaped people. And so we live with a spirit of triumph. You know what happens to a church that remains stuck on Friday? That church will lose the zeal of the gospel and will lose the rich and powerful hope of grace. We are a people who have been to the cross on Friday and have seen the Lord who loved us enough to die for us, but we are a people who have also been to the empty tomb and it has been abandoned. And we know that victory. And when we gather this morning, we gather this morning in gratitude both for the event on Friday, but we also gather in gratitude for the liberty of what happened on Sunday. We are, in Christ, a liberated people. And it is the Spirit of Christ, unleashed Spirit, it is the Spirit of Christ living within us, which continues to remind us, if we won't quench the Spirit, that we are a liberated people. And we talk about carrying the story forward. We've got to continue to feel the impact of the story. But we also need to invest our lives in others. That's one of the things that happens when we practice mentoring in the church. Mentoring is not only important in passing along the faith to other generations, we need to have conversations with each other. And I don't say that lightly. I know that's become kind of the hot word, conversation. We need to talk with one another about what the power of the gospel is all about. If you're in your 80s, then you communicate to those who are in their teens and those who are in their 20s that you understand and you continue to understand what it means to be liberated by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that that is a good life to live. So mentoring is not only about sharing the story with each other, but it's also about learning to use our gifts of service. Now, Paul makes it very clear that the Spirit dispenses the gifts. And the Spirit dispenses gifts to every one of us. God chooses how we are gifted. We make decisions as to whether or not to use those gifts. And mentoring in the church becomes important in generations, older generations, helping younger generations not only to look for how they are gifted, and to begin experimenting with how they think they might be gifted, to discover how they're gifted in ministry and service, but to begin using those gifts. Leadership Training for Christ is just one avenue of that. LTC, we refer to it. And so we bring together generations. And in bringing together those generations, we help our young people, teenagers, but even preteen, begin to do things which are reflective of a relationship with Jesus. Whether it's making a bulletin board, whether it's doing a scrapbook, whether it's putting together a skit or a play. Did you get to see the video play earlier, some of you, of our kids? It was wonderful. They had so many one-liners in that play. It was terrific. They put a lot of time into that, a lot of work into that. But so did the adults who mentored them in that experience. So we talk about carrying the story forward. We talk about continuing to feel the impact of the story, but we also talk about generations investing their life in younger generations so the story is heard and so that ministries are lived out. But we not only continue to carry the story forward, but we also learn to reenact the story. And we reenact the story as guided by the Spirit, who the Spirit works through other people to teach us, mentoring. But we learn to reenact the story by using our gifts and in service to God and in service to the church and in service to the community. West Hill is not simply a church that is focused on what happens inside these walls. Amen? We are concerned with what happens outside of these walls. That we're concerned with those in this community knowing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful message of liberation by the blood of Jesus. We're concerned with a moral society. We're concerned with people understanding what truth is and living out truth. We're concerned with families disassembling. We're concerned with other things that disrupt our lives and plague us. We're a church that's not only concerned with what happens in here, but we're a church that's concerned with what happens in this community. Amen? So we attend city council meetings. We're concerned with what happens in our schools. We love our schools. We're concerned with this community, being behind our schools, aren't we? We want to be behind our students, and we want to be behind our teachers and other faculty in this community, and we want to have a zeal and enthusiasm as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ for what happens in our town and the towns around, the communities and the schools. We learn to invest our lives in each other. See, church becomes a really important place to learn to use your gifts. So it's Monday, and the empty tomb is behind us, and the road is before us. And if we have truly experienced the risen Lord on Sunday, then we are looking for ways to imitate the journey of Christ. And you know what we're grateful for? We are grateful that the risen Christ that we have experienced doesn't simply send us, but the Lord Jesus said, join me. Let's journey together. So we walk with Christ. Years ago, I walked with Jesus, influenced, encouraged by parents and grandparents who loved the Lord, and I reached a point in my life I wanted to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can remember making that confession, being immersed into Christ and trusting in the blood of Jesus to cleanse my sins. Not understanding everything about the Christian message, but understanding this, that lordship of Jesus not only made sense, it was the thing to do to live a full life and to live in hope of eternity. So Jesus invites us to join him, not only in the waters of baptism, but to join him in the journey of using our gifts of ministry. West Hill is a wonderful church because we believe in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that animates, that gives us life, right? And we don't say that with arrogancy, self-elevation. Look, anything good that happens in this church happens because of God, right? So we celebrate him, we praise him, and we look for ways that we can serve more fully him. But he always gets the credit. Even this morning, as we celebrate our young people, we give God the credit. We give God the credit. My little less than one-year-old grandson had his first Easter egg hunt last Sunday. I haven't seen pictures yet, but I'm guessing he didn't jump down on the ground and run around to pick up his own eggs. Nevertheless, though he is clueless of what went on, I'm anxious to see the video footage, to catch a glimpse of the glimmer in his eye. But do you know who I thank God, who I thank for, my grandson? Beyond his parents, I'm grateful to God. He gave me a little Josiah. He gave me a little Josiah to give our life a greater sense of joy. So this morning, as we celebrate our young people, we're celebrating most of all who? And we want our young people to know that too. We see Jesus in you. If you've got any need to come, come all together, we stand and sing.